If you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 1. This is page 700 in your pew Bible. I showed that video for a purpose because sometimes around this time of season, it could just seem a little bit overwhelming, can't it? You know, a lot of things can overwhelm us. Financial pressures, family pressures, too much stress and worry, in addition to just the normal grief and guilt and grudges of life. Well, today we're going to look at the story of the first Christmas, and that was a little bit overwhelming too for some of the people there. Luke 1, starting at verse 26, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered, "may it be to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." When this happened, Mary was probably 14 years old. At that time, marriages were arranged by parents. By the time you were 13 or 14, you were already married. And so an angel shows up one day to this young teenage girl and says, "I know you've never had sex with a man before, but you're going to discover that you're pregnant and the baby is God." How would you react to that kind of news? I can imagine Mary thinking, "How am I going to explain this one? You know, how am I going to tell Joseph? Is he going to believe me? Hey, Joe, guess what? You know, I'm pregnant, but it's not what you think. How am I going to tell my parents? Hey, Mom and Dad, I have good news and bad news. Bad news is I'm pregnant. The good news is the Father is God." You're what? You know, no matter how you tell that news, it is not going to come across well. You know, so she's thinking through the implications of this news. Well, Joseph may well leave me. My parents are going to doubt me. The company is going to disgrace me. The community, you know, my reputation is shot. I may even lose my life because back at that time you could be stoned for immorality. This is like a disaster in the making. And remember, she's only 14 years old. In verse 29, it says she's confused and disturbed. Well, yeah, I would think so. Anybody in her shoes would be confused and disturbed and a little bit overwhelmed by those circumstances. Maybe this morning you're feeling a little overwhelmed by some circumstances that you're facing. Maybe you're overwhelmed by financial pressure. It's not uncommon at this time of year. Maybe by stress, maybe by relationships with your family, husband, wife, or kids, or others. Maybe it's something, a physical problem with yourself or a loved one, or health is suffering. Maybe it's your lack of a relationship. Maybe you haven't been able to meet that right person, the clock is ticking. You know, all these things can overwhelm us. What do you do when you're overwhelmed? Well, we're going to look at three things that Mary did when she was overwhelmed, because for a 14-year-old girl, she handled this whole situation with unbelievable maturity. She did all the right things. It was obviously obvious that she was led by the Holy Spirit. And as a result, her life was blessed. Mary may have been overwhelmed when the angel came to her with this big news, but the angel also said in verse 28, Mary, you're going to be blessed. There's a principle here. We usually feel overwhelmed just about the time that God is getting ready to bless us. So if you're feeling overwhelmed this morning, congratulations. It might mean that you're getting ready for some blessings. But what do I do when I feel overwhelmed? Little hint, you do the exact opposite of what you feel like doing. The first thing you do is to let go of your need to control the situation. You know, typically, the more out of control we feel, the more overwhelmed we feel, the more we want to jump in and take charge, and we start to worry about it more, we try to control it more, we try to micromanage the situation and try to force things to go our way. You see, parents do this all the time. Their kids start growing up and starting to assert their independence, and parents will say, well, we're going to nip that right in the bud. You know, we're not going to let this get out of control. I'm going to ground you until you're 18, and we'll control this right now. We're going to force it to go the right way. And what often happens when you try to force it to go your direction is that it just gets worse. Some of you parents may have noticed that. The truth is that much, if not most, of the stress in your life comes from this desire to try to control and manage everything in life. And the harder you try to control the things that are uncontrollable, the more overwhelmed you get. Because the fact is that most of life just cannot be controlled. In fact, most of life, you can't even figure out how to start. And that's really the way God planned it to be. The Bible says that it calls life a mystery. It says that God purposely reveals some things and purposely conceals some things from us. Jesus prays in Matthew 11. He says, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Lord, it was for your good pleasure. So God intentionally conceals things from us and reveals them only to little children, or in other words, by faith, when we simply trust him. There are some things that you are just not ever going to figure out, and so you just have to let go of your need to control and trust him. Mary certainly did not understand this situation. She heard this big news, and she says, how can I have a baby? I'm a virgin. You know, how's that going to work? The angel replies, basically, you don't have to do a thing. The Holy Spirit's going to handle it. Nothing is impossible with God. You see, when we feel overwhelmed, we react the same way that Mary did. How's that going to work out? You know, how can that happen? How am I going to handle all? How am I going to get this all done on time? How in the world am I going to make that payment? How am I going to solve that problem? How am I going to fix my kids? How am I going to get well? How am I going to deal with this loved one who's not well? How am I going to get that person to love me again? All these areas, we're overwhelmed, and we ask this, but how? Question. Notice the angel's response to Mary was not to give a detailed explanation of how it was all going to work. No, he just says, nothing is impossible with God. God can do anything, and he can do everything. And so the angel says, Mary, you don't have to worry about how it's going to happen. You just let go of your need to control the things. Nothing is impossible with God. And God is saying that right now to each one of us here. He's saying that to you about that area that you feel is out of control. He says, I'm in control. You don't need to be. Whatever's bugging you in your life right now because you just cannot control it, you need to understand, although it's not in your control, it is in God's control. And when Mary understood this, her response was instant and it was simple. In verse 38, she says, I am the Lord's servant. Mary answered, may it be to me according to your word. You hear the submission to God? You hear the surrender there? I'm willing to accept whatever God wants. I don't have to know how and when and what or why. I'm okay with whatever God wants. I'm okay with it. I'm the Lord's servant. Would you be able to say that this morning? Would you be able to say, I don't have to know how or when or why? I'm okay with whatever God wants in my life. I'm the Lord's servant. Would you say that? You see, it doesn't matter so much what the circumstances are that you and I are facing. The secret of peace in those circumstances is to let go of control and trust God to handle it. Look at what God promised in Psalm 138. It says, the Lord will work out his plans for my life. Now, notice that doesn't say, the Lord will work out my plans for my life. It doesn't say, the Lord will work out the plans that I want for my life. No, it doesn't say that. It says, the Lord will work out his plans for my life. So that leads me to ask, well, what's the difference between my plans for my life and his plans? Well, there are three things that we know about God's plans for our lives. Number one, God's plan for your life is always bigger than your plan. All Mary and Joseph wanted to do in this situation, they wanted to get married, settle down, get a condo and maybe a big screen TV, some goats and chickens maybe in the yard. And, you know, they wanted a happy, comfortable little life together. Right? That's about all they really wanted. God says, no, that's not my plan for you. I want to use you to change the whole world, to be a blessing to the whole world, to bring salvation to the whole earth. That's what I want to use you for. It's a slightly bigger plan. You may not be able to see it in your life, but I believe God wants to use your life in a bigger way than you've planned on. His plan is bigger than your plan. You see, you have no idea what God could do through you if you simply committed your life and your ways to him, if you were completely committed and just said, God, I want to have that attitude like Mary. Whatever you want, God, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to be your servant. Whatever you want, God, you have no idea what God could do through your life if you were like that, because God's plan is always bigger than your plan. Second, God's plan for your life is always more painful than your plan. Now, some of you are saying, Ken, I don't like that second point. Can you just like skip that one and go on? The fact is, God's plan is always harder than our plan. It's often painful, it's often confusing, it often doesn't makes sense to us. It often takes a whole lot longer than we planned on. It certainly didn't make sense to Mary. The plan that God had for Mary's life was much more difficult, much harder than the one that she had. She's 8.5 months pregnant. She has to travel on a donkey for a week to Bethlehem. Would any of you mothers like to confirm that that might be difficult? Yeah, I think so. Traveling on bumpy roads for a week when you're 8.5 months pregnant, I don't think so. That's not a lot of fun. And then it gets more difficult because she gets there and she, as a 14-year-old, gets to have her first baby not with in a hospital with doctors, not even with a midwife, not even with her mother or friends around to help out. She's in a stable with donkeys and cows helping out. You know, that does not sound like a lot of fun either. And then it gets harder because Herod wants to kill the baby, and so then they have to flee to Egypt where they know nobody and live there for several years. You know, I can just imagine Mary asking God, why does it have to be so hard? You know, I know you love me, I know you have a good plan and you bless me here, but why does it have to be so hard? Why can't I have my baby at home? You see, God was fulfilling his promises from the Old Testament. In fact, we can look back that, and we can look at Micah and Isaiah and Hosea and look at all these promises about the Messiah and how he'd come and everything, and we can look at those and we can say, oh, yeah, God had this all planned out thousands of years in advance. You know, he knew exactly what he was doing. He was watching over Mary and Joseph. He was taking care of them. It was all planned out. We can see that. Mary could not see that. She didn't know. And she couldn't see why it had to be so difficult. Just like you and I can't see why it has to be so difficult with what's going on in our lives. We can't see God's huge plan and how he's working it all out and how he's faithful and he's meeting our needs. But we don't see that while we're in the middle of it. We don't see it. But the truth is that nothing happens in your life by accident. Nothing. There is a purpose behind every problem. The problems that you're facing right now did not surprise God when they showed up. He knew in advance they'd be coming along before it happened. He knows the good and the bad. Now, that doesn't mean that he caused it all. He doesn't cause evil. There's enough evil and bad things in this world without God having to cause anything. But he takes even the bad and he makes good come out of it. Think about it. Did bad things happen to Jesus? Well, yeah, like he got murdered. Did God stop the bad things? No. Did God use those bad things to bring good out of it? Absolutely. Because of that, you and I can have salvation because Jesus died for our sins. So God's plan for your life is always bigger, but it's always more painful than your plan. The third thing we know is that God's plan for your life is always better than your plan. See, God looks at your life from an eternal perspective, and he sees what you could become. And to bring you to that good place, God will sacrifice your short-term comfort in order to gain long-term glory for you. He will sacrifice your short-term comfort in order to build character into your life and in order to bless you for eternity. He'll sacrifice the short-term comfort. You see, God's goal is not to make you comfortable and happy right now. God's goal is to prepare you for living with him for eternity, you know, where you're going to spend many, many, many more years than you are here on this earth. And he knows exactly what that's going to take to help you grow. And he also knows that you grow most when you face challenges in your life, when you face problems and difficulties. It knocks you out of your comfort zone, and all of a sudden it forces you to grow. And that's why being overwhelmed can actually be good for you. It can actually be a blessing of God. Doesn't feel like it, does it? But it forces you to your knees in prayers. You say, God, this is not working out. What is going on? You know, I've got no options left. I guess I have to trust you. And God says, finally. So the first thing to do when you feel overwhelmed is let go of your need to control the situation. The second thing we see Mary do is let others help you out. And again, this is the opposite of what we tend to do. We tend to get overwhelmed and then we start to withdraw from relationships. And we start pulling back and isolating ourselves. We say, leave me alone. I don't want to be around anybody. Let me cry in my beer. Let me hunker in my bunker, you know, and we just withdraw. You see this all the time when people face big problems and they start pulling out of church, pulling out of small groups, pulling away from friendships, backing away from the very things that they really need when they're in a crisis. You need other people when you're going through difficult times. Verse 39, it says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Mary went to see Elizabeth in this difficult time. Elizabeth had three attributes that Mary needed right then. First, Elizabeth was a very godly woman. She was married to the priest Zechariah. She had a close relationship with God, and so she could pray for Mary. Second, Elizabeth was an older woman. She had a lot more life experience, and she could give wise advice to Mary. And then third, Elizabeth was also pregnant. She was about 6 months ahead of Mary with Jesus' cousin, who would be named John the Baptist. And so not only was Elizabeth wise and older and loved God, but she was a little bit further along, a little bit further ahead than Mary, so she could help her younger cousin to go through this situation. Here's the point. When you're feeling overwhelmed, you need to find an Elizabeth. What's an Elizabeth? Somebody who's a strong believer, who can be your spiritual mentor. Somebody who is a little bit older than you, a little bit more life experience, a little more wisdom maybe. And then third, somebody who's a little bit farther along than you. They don't have to be perfect because nobody is, but they're a little bit farther along than you are. And some of you say, well, you know, that sounds great, Ken. Yeah, I wish I had somebody like that, but I don't know anybody like that. You know, where am I going to find somebody like that, a strong believer with more experience, a little bit farther along than me? I don't know anybody like that. That is exactly why our church emphasizes small groups so much. Because small groups are where you find those kind of people. It's not just enough to just show up on Sunday morning and hear some Bible teaching. You need to get connected with other people who will help you grow. And the way that happens in the church is almost always in small groups. Let me tell you when to get connected to other people that will help you. Do it before you need it. Before the crisis happened, before you're overwhelmed, get connected before the inevitable problems that come into everybody's life, get connected with people who can help before the death of a loved one, before you're facing a serious illness, before the financial crisis, before the relationship crisis, get connected beforehand so that those people are there to help when you're overwhelmed. Here at the Vineyard, we've been taking a break from some of our small groups during the holidays, but there's new groups starting in about a week and a half in January on weeknights and weekdays and weekends. And you know, there's groups here on Sunday morning at 9:30 that are starting in a week and a half. You know, there are all kinds of groups for all schedules. I encourage you to check one out and get connected to people who can help you grow. Now, there's a third thing to do when you're overwhelmed. First, we saw Mary let go of control, let other people help you out. Third, remember God's promises to you. The reason why this 14-year-old peasant girl named Mary was not blown away by these overwhelming circumstances is because she believed God's promises. In verse 45, it's talking about Mary. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. Mary believed that God would do what he said he'd do. And as a result, she was blessed. It gave her strength in the middle of overwhelming circumstances. Question: do you remember God's promises to you? And do you believe those promises to you? The Bible's full of promises about what God will do in your life. Do you know those promises? You have to know and believe them. Promises like Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Promises like Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." A lot of us need that right now. Philippians 4:19, "God who takes care of me will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches." Proverbs 1:33, "But all who listen to me will live in peace, untroubled by fear of harm." 2 Thessalonians, "The Lord is faithful and he will strengthen you and protect you." These are the kind of promises that you need to know. You need to remember, have them in your heart, remember them. We actually see Mary do two things with the promises of God. First, we see her praise God for his good promises. If we continue reading where I left off earlier in Luke, starting in verse 46, "And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." So Mary received these promises from God, and then she praises God for them and for his goodness to her. Now, a little trivia question for you Bible experts. What was the passage I just read? What's the traditional name for that? Anybody know? Magnificat, okay? Now, this is the harder question. Why is it called that? Our former senior pastor here has the answer. Probably most of you couldn't remember or couldn't understand or know that. In Latin, the first word of that passage is Magnificat, which stands for "my soul magnifies the Lord." But anyway, when you praise and thank God for his promises to you, it immediately does several things. I put this on the next slide if we go to that. When you praise God and thank for his promises, it brings your thoughts into line with God's will. It creates an attitude of faith in your life. It opens the door for God's power to come into your situation. It pleases God and it strengthens you. And so for all those reasons, there is enormous power in praise. And I want to challenge you to try this because it works. When you start to feel overwhelmed or burned out, just stop for a moment what you're doing. And even though you don't feel like it and you won't feel like doing it, but just force yourself to take a moment and praise God for his goodness to you. Remember some of his promises that apply to your situation you're dealing with and thank him for those and praise him for his goodness. And what will happen again? It brings your thoughts into line with God's will. It creates an attitude of faith in your life. It opens the door for God's power to come into your situation. It pleases God and it strengthens you. If you don't believe me, I dare you to try it next time you're feeling overwhelmed. Just, I challenge you to try it. So the first thing that we see Mary do is praise God for his promises. Second, we see Mary meditate on God's promises. Meditating just means to think about. And Mary meditated on God's promises. In Luke 2:19, it says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. In fact, when you study the Magnificat, you discover that Mary had to be a Bible scholar. I mean, she knew the Bible. Here's what the Bible Dictionary says about this passage. The Magnificat is in many places very similar in thought and phrase to the Song of Anna found in 1 Kings and to portions of Psalms 6, 32, 34, 70, 97, 110, 112, 117, 125, 131, and 137. Similarities are also found with portions of Habakkuk, Malachi, Job, Isaiah, and Genesis. What's the point? Mary knew the Bible. She had read all of these books of the Bible. She had studied and pondered and meditated over them to the point that when she makes her statement of faith, the Magnificat, she's like quoting from all these different books of the Bible because she knows it so well. She was intimately acquainted with God's Word. Why is that important? Why is it important when you're feeling overwhelmed to spend time studying and meditating on God's promises to you? Because the Bible helps you to sort out what's really important in life. Many times the reason we're overwhelmed in life is because we forget about what's really important and what's not really important. We tend to think that everything on our schedule is important when it's not. You look at all the things you have to do between job and family and errands and Christmas and friends and relatives and sicknesses and conflicts and broken relationships and on and on and on and on. And you start thinking that it's all important, so you get overwhelmed with it all. But the truth is, there are only a few things that are really critical. Most of the things in your schedule, if you just didn't do them, nobody would even remember in a year or 5 years or 10 years or 20 years. There's only a few things that are really critical. And so knowing the Bible helps to clarify your values and priorities. It helps you to discover what's important, and that makes life simpler. So those two practices that I just mentioned, praising and meditating on God's promises, those will strengthen you on a daily basis. Your circumstances may not change a bit, but you won't be overwhelmed by them because God is not overwhelmed, and he didn't plan for you to be. We're going to close now, but we're going to close a little differently this morning. Donna's going to come up, and she's going to sing a song called Breath of Heaven, which, by the way, is really a prayer to the Holy Spirit for strength. We've been talking about strength this morning. How do we get strength? This is a prayer by Mary to the Holy Spirit for strength. I put the lyrics on the next slide. Let's bring those up. Breath of heaven, she's really talking to the Holy Spirit there. Hold me together, be forever near me, lighten my darkness, pour over me your holiness. Those are prayers to the Holy Spirit for strength in her situation. So Donna, come on up, and as Donna sings this song, we're going to leave that up there, and when she gets to the chorus, I encourage you to pray that while she's singing. Pray that for yourself this season. Holy Spirit, strengthen me. Pray that for your family. Pray that for your loved ones and the people around you. Make that your prayer this season. you are with us, that even when we're overwhelmed, that you are in control. Help us to trust you. Help us to put all of our problems, difficulties, and challenges into your hands. And trust you this day, this season, this year, the rest of our lives. We thank you for all that you are. We thank you for your son who came at Christmas time so that we could get to know what you're like. We thank you for your great blessings on us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like our prayer teams to come on forward. If you would like prayer this morning about anything at all, whether it's finances, health, relationships, anything, they would love to pray with you. If you are not sure of your relationship with Jesus Christ and you want to be sure, then I want to encourage you to come up and talk with one of the people on the prayer teams. They'd love to talk with you about that as well. Otherwise, God bless you. Have a Merry Christmas, a wonderful New Year. Hope you can make it to our Christmas Eve service. God bless you.